Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight, we talk about one of the fastest growing infectious diseases in the United States. The Center for Disease Control estimates that about 300,000 Americans are infected with Lyme disease each year between reported and unreported cases. And this year, health officials are expecting the worst tick season ever, as warmer weather is giving deer ticks a longer lifespan and concern is elevated around a new exotic tick called the longhorn or bush tick that has been discovered in New Jersey carrying another deadly virus called S as in Sam, F as in Frank, T-S. And the CDC reports that 6% of all U.S. Lyme disease cases occur in 14 states, Connecticut, Delaware, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Vermont, Virginia, and Wisconsin. My guest this evening is Dr. Ken Redcross, a board-certified internal medicine physician, founder of the first full-service concierge personalized medical practice in the United States, who says the problem of Lyme disease is that when symptoms first present, most people assume they have the flu. Then symptoms go away, you think you're in the clear, and then it comes back with a vengeance. My guest this evening is Dr. Redcross, who says that educating yourself on Lyme disease is the first line of defense. It is a pleasure to welcome Dr. Ken Redcross to help us take charge of our lives on WDIY. Welcome, Dr. Redcross.
Thank you so much, Eleanor. It is so wonderful to be here with you today. And you're right, talk about something that is incredibly important to so many of us.
How did you become interested in this particular disease, Lyme disease?
You know, it's pretty interesting, actually. You know, I remember as a kid, I was a Boy Scout, Eleanor, and as a kid, we always worried in Boy Scouts about ticks. So I always found it so fascinating. But what's happened over the years is we started to recognize that ticks can cause some really bad diseases. Now, I grew up in Virginia, but Virginia is one of those 14 states that you named that we need to be really careful about tick-borne illnesses. So throughout my years, I've always been very interested in learning more about ticks and what we can do to avoid them and how we manage diseases that are caused by ticks.
And how do we know when we're being infected by ticks? What do we look for?
Well, so look, most times, to be honest, Eleanor, usually people either find a tick on their body somewhere, or either you see what's called a pathognomonic rash. In other words, that just means it's a rash that's typical of Lyme disease. It's called a bullseye rash, and that's one of the best signs that we have that you may have, in fact, been infected with the tick at that time. But it's important, especially when you're in the outdoors, that you practice some things to kind of help avoid getting bitten by the tick in the first place.
Such as?
Well, one of the things you want to do when you're going out in the wilderness, and first, that's your first indication that you're at higher risk, right? We're getting out a little bit more, whether it be in the wooded areas or where there's a lot of leaves. That's where they like to harbor and hide until they see us and we're running around. So you want to be careful when you're out in the wilderness. The second thing is you want to make sure you cover up, Eleanor. You want to cover up your legs and your arms and also your feet as well, because all of those are sites where the ticks can kind of latch onto us and cause some serious problems if they do, in fact, bite us.
Well, is there any way that we can know if we're bitten? Because somehow or other, I know mosquitoes we can see. So mosquitoes buzz around, we can see, we can swipe
right.
them off. We can see bees, if we're in a place where there happen to be yellow jackets or something of that sort. But if somehow or other, I'm not familiar with how you become aware that you're even bothered by a tick.
Well, I'll tell you this. One of the things to keep in mind, and you're right, Eleanor, that the tick, and the deer tick in particular, is about the size of a poppy seed. So that's why it's also important, if you're going to be outside, that you're wearing light-colored clothing. You want white colors or something that's light so that you can see something like a tick that's actually on your person at the time. And so the other thing is, you want to recognize, if you're going to be out in the wilderness and be at increased risk for getting ticks, what sort of things should I have at my disposal just in case? One of the things I always talk about is, obviously, we need some sort of spray, whether it be to help us protect us from ticks or even mosquitoes. And there's some ways that you can actually take advantage of natural ways to actually keep off ticks. One of the things I share with patients is putting together kind of a mixture of witch hazel, apple cider vinegar, some essential oils such as citronella or tea tree. And you put those together in a spray bottle and you spray that on your body, Eleanor. The bugs do not like that. It's natural. You don't necessarily have to worry about, some of the bug sprays that can cause other problems such as infertility and other things. And so this is at least a natural way to start saying, okay, I heard Dr. Red Cross say I need to cover up, but then we've also talked about kind of a natural spray that can also help us keep ticks off of our bodies.
Now, I heard you say witch hazel, apple cider vinegar. What else? What else goes into that spray?
Well, witch hazel, apple cider vinegar, and I mentioned some essential oils. And in that, look, there's some wonderful essential oils that we know have great activity against bugs, such as citronella. I think we're all probably more familiar with that. But I also love tea tree oil here and eucalyptus and lemongrass, all of those. Number one, they smell great, so it's good. A lot of the bug repellents don't smell as good. It's this kind of natural way to decide and see if that can actually help keep some of the bugs and the ticks and mosquitoes off of you.
And you're talking about wilderness. Most people, we don't talk about wilderness in the area. We do talk about going on picnics. We're going to a state park, having a picnic outdoors. Are these places that we have to be careful of as well, even in our own backyard, or is it only where there are a lot of trees and a lot of growth that we should be concerned about?
No, not at all. When I said wilderness, I should have actually specified that, these are the times of year when we're actually out and having a good time, especially picnics, and especially summer camp. There was a very interesting article that was done in the news recently about how summer camps are now kind of, battening down the hatches a little bit and getting ready for the tick season, because you have so many of our kids out in the woods and enjoying themselves during the summer. And the peak season for Lyme disease is from April to July. So we're kind of in the throes of that season with July coming quite soon. So, yeah, you're right. It's not only about this huge wilderness. Not at all. It's in a lot of the areas where we enjoy barbecuing and that sort of thing. So this is something that we all need to kind of sit down and understand what we can do to stay out of harm's way.
Are you saying then, therefore, one of the states that we mentioned where ticks were increasing was Pennsylvania. So does that mean if we're going into our backyards for a picnic or a barbecue that we should be aware of the danger of ticks and use a spray on ourselves to protect ourselves?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I had a discussion with a couple of patients and even some of my family members, because as you know, the holiday season is coming. And the last thing we're thinking about is staying out of the way of any ticks and mosquitoes. Mosquitoes are easier because, as you mentioned, Eleanor, everybody sees them. Everyone's annoyed with them. You hear them buzzing around your ears. But ticks are a lot more elusive and a little bit harder to kind of find unless you're looking for them and unless you know kind of to become tick ready, which we're trying to create that message today, because it's so important to me, because tick diseases can be so debilitating for so many people. So I've kind of gone on a little bit of a mission to get the word out, to get everyone kind of thinking a little bit more this season than maybe we have in the past.
Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. This is your host, Eleanor Bobrow. And this evening, we're talking about tick prevention and preventing Lyme disease. My guest is Dr. Ken Red Cross, a board-certified internal medicine physician and founder of one of the first full-service concierges or personalized medical practices in the United States. So are you saying when we go out to barbecue, we have our family over. Are you saying that we should prepare a natural spray or some kind of insect spray that you described earlier?
Yeah, you know, and I talk to patients a lot about that. A lot of my patients actually, Eleanor, come to me because they know that we're going to talk about some alternative ways and maybe some of the typical ways that are out there to make sure that we stay healthy. And so, yeah, I talk a lot about it, and a lot of patients love to use it. And like I said, it actually smells good. How many bug sprays can you say actually smells good on your body? So they really enjoy that aspect of it as well. And you know what, Eleanor, I should also let everyone know, I know we throw the term Lyme disease around, but a lot of people don't recognize it. We're talking about getting bitten by a tick, but not every tick has Lyme disease. Ticks are what we call the vector. In other words, that's how we get them. So if the tick is infected, it's how you get Lyme disease. But not every tick is infected. But, you know, Amazon has a great kit online where if you find a tick, you can put it in a little plastic baggie and send it off to them. And for a small fee, they get back to you later and let you know if that particular tick had Lyme's or not. But even still, anytime you're bitten by a tick, I should caution everyone, you want to do your best to get it out with a pair of needle-nose pliers, tweezers, and actually put it in a baggie. And if you can't send it out in a kit, like I mentioned, then bring it into your doctor because we're able to send it out as well and see exactly what's going on.
So I think that's very important. So we really have to be very aware with ticks and not take any, you know, not take anything for granted. And we really have to be on the alert, is what you're saying, and be careful.
Oh, absolutely.
To use some kind of insect spray, one that you've described with the witch hazel, apple cider vinegar, and essential oil, citronella or something else, and to be aware that we have to be careful, particularly in these months of the end of June, July, when ticks are really out there and we need to become observant. Is that what you're saying?
No, I am, and we're talking about this. I think we all the same as when we were growing up. It's definitely a lot warmer. And so when you're doing that, the ticks are able to last a lot longer, and they're also able to migrate a little bit. I know we've talked about most of the cases being in these 14 states, which is here with all of us, a lot of us here in the Northeast, but you're seeing some cases in Wisconsin, and you're seeing them in these areas where you typically didn't see them before. And so that just lets you know there's a little bit of spread and migration going on as well. So it's even more important that we get really educated and figure out what we can do to prevent this from happening to us.
And we're going to talk more about preventing Lyme disease and being aware of ticks in our environment when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
For program support on WDIY, we thank United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley, celebrating 100 years, fighting for everyone in the community by increasing third-grade reading results, ensuring everyone has access to nutritious food, helping seniors to be safe and healthy in their homes, and supporting critical emergency service programs in the Lehigh Valley. More information on ways to give, advocate, and volunteer at unitedwayglv.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening, we're talking with Dr. Ken Redcross, a board-certified internal medicine physician and founder of one of the first full-time, full-service concierges or personalized medical practices in the United States. And we were talking about how to prevent ticks. And one of the things you were saying is that it's necessary to really to take preventative measures. But I'm wondering what happens if perhaps you've tried your very best or you found a tick and you got infected. How do you help the system to rectify itself and combat this disease?
Well, let's think about it this way, Eleanor. So I'll take a couple of patients who have actually come to my office. So I've had one patient who came in, and she was, in fact, diagnosed with Lyme. Now, how do we treat it? We treat it with antibiotics. Doxycycline is the mainstay of therapy. In other words, that's what we start with. Some people will necessarily sometimes need amoxicillin, but the point is, then you get those patients, and they do well. And that's about 80%. Then you have the other people. And I had an older patient who loves to be outside. She's a camper. And so she came in. She was diagnosed with Lyme disease. And here we are now. We are literally years out from her being treated for Lyme disease, but she still has significant problems with that. So when those patients come in, that's when I like to talk about some of the more novel approaches to really make a difference, because really it's about the immune system and the immune system being somewhat deficient to keep the Lyme disease going. One of the ones I talk to them about is what's called AHCC. It's a medicinal mushroom mix, and it's been shown to increase the number and activity of some of our immune cells. And the immune cells I'm talking about are called natural killer cells and cytokines. All of these are extremely important to help our immune system. You and I were even talking offline about our love of really using vitamins to make a difference as well. And one of those vitamins is vitamin D3. Once again, naturally boost the immunity. And that's what you need, because this whole disease and a lot of diseases are all due to inflammation. And that's what we're trying to stamp out.
So you recommend vitamin D3. How much vitamin D3 is necessary? Some people, you know, have vitamins, but they don't know how much to take. Do you advise them on that?
I do. I talk to patients a lot. Vitamin D is something else I'm very passionate about. Not only vitamin D and AHCC, but vitamin D in particular, I talk about 5,000 units a day in order to really get them to the optimal levels. And so a lot of people ask that exact question, and I have patients kind of get their levels checked, and then we go through how they feel after they start the vitamin D. I even have patients look at some of the studies. When I had mentioned AHCC before, they have a website, AHCCresearch.org, where I go through the data with patients, because I think it's important. Once again, it's that education that we want to have happen. There's also a place for omega-3 fatty acid as well, which is fish oil, being very beneficial for inflammation. So there's a lot of things at our disposal. So I don't want patients feeling like just because they've been diagnosed with Lyme and they still feel this fatigue and you can't get any more antibiotics, that the situation is helpless and hopeless. I like patients to feel empowered.
Well, you're helping patients to take charge of their lives is what you're doing. And to recognize there is a way. And what about things like CoQ10 and magnesium? Do you recommend those?
I do, and they're for different reasons. So magnesium actually has a role in helping us with some of the muscle aches that we get sometimes. So I have a patient that comes in, Eleanor, and so they'll say, you know, doc, I've been working out, I'm really sore, and I need a prescription. And as I need to mention, I like a no-prescription zone in my office. I don't like to write scripts if we don't have to. I'll talk to them about magnesium, because magnesium is, in fact, able to help some of those muscle aches. CoQ10, in a way, is similar in that CoQ10 is actually able to help with inflammation. And when you have a patient who has had to maybe take a cholesterol medication and they get some of those body aches, the studies show that CoQ10 is very beneficial there as well. And so all of these are easy to kind of have at your disposal in your home and in your medicine cabinet and don't require a prescription at all.
So, but are you saying that when you believe you have Lyme disease, that CoQ10 and magnesium and B-complex vitamins and this AHCC are helpful to help the body regain its balance? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I am. I'm saying that it's mainly helpful, especially for those who we've already been treated and they still don't feel themselves. They still feel like, doc, I've come in. I know you've given me the 14 to 28 days of therapy, but I just don't feel myself still. I still feel that this is lingering within my system. So that's when I kind of go to the next stage, and that's when I talk about AHCC and vitamin D3 and fatty acid and magnesium and those things that we're talking about. These are supportive to make sure that they know that there's some other things out there that can help them feel better, and that we in the medical community now recognize that there is a little bit more to Lyme disease than we thought in the past.
Can you tell, how do we recognize AHCC in a nutrition shop? I have not heard of that. How do you recognize, do they call it AHCC, or is there another way of recognizing that?
You know, that's a good question. You know, one of the better ways is it's always easier to find some of these things on Amazon, as AHCC is available there. The way I became aware of this is that I started to learn a lot more about the importance of boosting our immune system with these diseases. And I found out that the number one immune supplement in Japan is, in fact, AHCC. So then I had to do a little more research and saw that there were 20 human clinical trials. And these trials were at big institutions, I mean, Harvard and Yale, MD Anderson. And so as I did more of my research, I started to recognize that even in a study they had, it was an eight-week study, and they showed that these patients that had Lyme disease, after they were treated and didn't feel better at the time, felt better after the study. And that's when I had to recognize that there was something I had to share with patients that was a little unique for a lot of us in the medical community.
And these studies utilized things like AHCC, omega-3, vitamin D3, CoQ10, magnesium. Is that what you're saying?
Well, this particular study actually focused on AHCC once it was seen in studies that it decreased some of the inflammatory markers in lab tests. So it was an eight-week study that focused on AHCC in particular to see some of the benefits that patients were feeling. And so clinically they were getting better, but when you did the blood test, you better understood why. And you saw it was really about reducing inflammation and boosting the immune system.
So when a person has Lyme disease, it's about reducing the inflammation. Is that correct in the system?
Right, exactly. Because inflammation is, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, yes.
No, because to your point, Eleanor, I was just saying that inflammation is the cause of so many different diseases. And so that's why it's important that we do our best to stamp that out. But I don't want to do it with NSAIDs or some of those things that can cause problems. So when you're thinking about inflammation and the immune system, yes, these things we've talked about down to the magnesium, to the CoQ10 makes a big difference.
So, well, I think that's very important because many people are relying upon antibiotics and other medicines to help restore the system. But what you're saying is we have to take a look at other things such as this AHCC, omega-3, vitamin D3, and that there have been studies to show that the immune system has been helped by these elements. Is that accurate?
Absolutely accurate. And it's interesting because it's hard to find clinically controlled trials that do that research per se. But we do know anecdotally, we also know lots of patients who are getting better on these. You know, it took a while for the medical community to even embrace CoQ10 was going to be something that helped patients who were on statins for cholesterol control. And now it's one of those things that I think a lot of my colleagues would be open to saying, yeah, you know, this is something that we definitely should consider instead of something that requires a prescription.
So what I'm hearing you say is that there are some answers or some helps to be had. If we look at our system, we don't have to be terrified that we've been infected by a tick, that there are now ways of bringing the body back into balance with utilizing a lot of different aspects. One would be antibiotics and the other would be utilizing nutritional supplements. Is that accurate?
It is accurate, Eleanor. I love the way you put that as well, because that's a nice comprehensive approach to say, yes, you have Lyme disease. We know that antibiotics are supposed to treat it. And then to the next phase. So we know you've been treated, but for some reason you're still not feeling yourself. We used to throw our hands up and say, what can we do? We've given you the antibiotics. That's all we can do. But now we have some things at our disposal that we know can make a difference, especially for those people who are feeling that no matter what everyone in the medical community is saying, I promise, I don't feel well. I don't feel myself. I'm fatigued. I'm having joint pain. And now we have some alternatives. So it's very exciting for me and so many of my patients as well.
Can you give us an example of perhaps one of your own patients who was treated with antibiotics and was not feeling better, and when you applied these other elements, they were feeling better? Can you give us an example of a patient in your own practice?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. So one of the things I typically find is, as I mentioned, usually 80% of patients do quite well after you start the antibiotics, but it's that 20% that's the most challenging for me, because you have them come in. I've had a patient, and she's had it, oh, gosh, I don't know, probably three to four years or so, and she has these bouts of this extreme fatigue, and we feel like it's possibly due to Lyme disease. So I did talk to her about AHCC and vitamin D3 in particular because her vitamin D levels were also low. So I thought maybe it was a combination of things. And this is one of my patients that I make house calls to. And so she had started taking them. She started taking both of them. And one of the things that she started to notice is a marked improvement of her fatigue. And you have no idea how that feels. It's like you almost want to jump for joy because you know how much, or I know how much it's affected her life. She's a very busy businesswoman, and this is something that was really impacting her. And so to see that she goes to work now, she doesn't have as much fatigue. And the fact that we did that, Eleanor, when I know probably 10 years ago, we used to do nothing but just kind of throw up our hands and kind of say, I don't know where to go from here. And that's not the case anymore. Because one thing we recognize is that the blood testing for Lyme disease, it's not great. It gives a lot of false negatives, meaning that the person can be positive, but they haven't mounted immunobodies yet to show that they, in fact, do have Lyme disease. So the testing hasn't caught up yet either. So to be able to offer some of these other things is really a big deal. And like I said, it's exciting for me.
Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Ken Redcross, for your informative discussion on how to prevent Lyme disease this summer. And thank you for sharing the facts, the obstacles, prevention strategies, and treatments to avoid being sidelined by Lyme disease. Thank you for explaining how the use of specific nutrients such as CoQ10, magnesium, B-complex vitamins, and AHCC, as well as omega-3, and vitamin D3 have been scientifically shown to help boost one's immune system and restore cellular health. Thank you for helping us to take charge of our lives on WDIY. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.